When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome once again, everybody, to Blockbuster Mentality. I'm your host, Ben. Been a while, I know. Been a while since we've been recording. Went on vacation for a little bit and just needed a little break from the show, but glad to be back. Had a great time talking today with John Gabris. He's a comedian and he's good friends with Adam Pally. They have a new show on True TV called 101 Ways to Party Before You Die. It's on, again, True TV. It's a funny show, hilarious show, couple of buddies drinking, having fun in different locations. He talks about that. The movie we talk about is Big Trouble in Little China with Kurt Russell. If you haven't seen it, we get into the details, but it's still fun. Even if you haven't seen it, it'll intrigue you to see it. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at BlockbusterCast, Instagram at Blockbuster Mentality. Go to our website, blockbustermentality.com. That's where you get all the updates on the show and all that fun. And if you could please give us a 5-star review on iTunes, that helps immensely. Here is my fun conversation with the very funny John Gabris. Are you still filming the party show, the 101 Ways, or is that over?
We're done filming. We're done with post-production. It's like just straight airing. I think our fourth episode airs this Thursday, and then that's the halfway mark.
Okay, gotcha. And then, I mean, it's got to be a nice break. I mean, that's gotta kill you. What you guys do.
it's like literally my own episode of Twilight Zone or Black Mirror, because it's the best job I've ever had, but it's physically destroyed me.
I'm sure.
I gotta fight the good fight for like the 10 weeks when I'm not shooting, and keep the body trying to bounce back, you know.
Yeah, I can imagine. We just got back from a 2-week vacation down in South Florida, and drinking 2 weeks straight, I was just like, oh. I came home like excited to give my liver a break
I need to take a 2-week long shower where I don't eat or drink at all, you know,
right,
just like slowly bring my body back to like slowly revitalize and add water back to my system.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you got to get that hydration in. Explain the show a little. I know you've talked your ear off about it, but for my listeners, you know, let them know.
Sure.
What was the genesis of the show? Again, it's called 101
Places to Party Before You Die. So me and my co-host, another comedian that I've been doing comedy with the early 2000s, mid 2000s, is Adam. People know him from like Mindy Project and Happy Endings. Song.
Yep.
Movies, dude rules. Him and I like longtime friends. We've always traveled for work, like whether the comedians, like touring comedians back in the day, or actors now. And then we've frequently traveled together, and we realize our vibes are very similar. We have similar ideas about travel. We both are super passionate about it. And the more we work together or hung out, and when we started to miss each other, we were like, dude, if we could just film us us hanging out, like, and then like our managers are very good friends and they are old party animal buddies, so they were like, we got the idea, we found this book, we'll buy the book was called 101 Places to Get Fucked Up Before You Die, and we sort of built out this show idea that was kind of like, what is it like for party animals in their late 30s, now we're in our 40s, but when we were pitching it, what's it like to still try, because most of my friends in their late 30s, early 40s, if they can steal a fucking dude's weekend or a friend's weekend or a couple's week, whatever it is, the childless, even when they bring their kids, my 40-year-old friends are fucking after it, getting blasted, chasing the good chicken sandwich place, like all that shit that we do on our travel, except the thing Adam and I do that maybe not everyone does is we're professionally funny as well. So like,
well, yes, well, that yeah, we added bonus there.
Yeah, exactly. So then we add that, and that's authentic to how we are when we travel, is we're doing bits with each other, doing bits with the waitress, mocking someone else at another table, mocking the food, enjoying the food, roasting ourselves, roasting each other. So to bring all that energy into a show has been like a dream come true for us, just getting to be ourselves. Yeah. Our gluttonous humorous and we're both like, you know, we love each other, we're yeah, like we're like real adult male friends, we have like real love for each other, so we hope that comes across too.
Sure.
Like, we just want to show that it's not all fucking, you know, it's bromance doesn't necessarily mean like giving each other wedgies and shit, you know, or okay, farting on each other. Yeah. And stuff. But we still can.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It can happen. It can happen. Well, that's what
the thrust of it all, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's what I love. Like, what's so, you know, endearing about the show is it's not, you know, just a couple early 20-year-olds doing it and just like obnoxious, like, okay, whatever, you're going around partying. Like, I like that it's you guys in your 40s, like, doing this. Like, can we handle this? Was there a point where you were just like, I don't know if I can continue. Like, was there ever
there
that
was
point?
Like, due to time constraints and True TV's airing schedule, like we had to shoot 3 weeks on, 1 week off, 2 weeks on. So that's 5 weeks of partying in 6 weeks. Yeah. So with only 1 week off. And that week off is just unpacking and doing laundry and then folding laundry and repacking. Like, it's just like so much clothes and shit. So that stretch by the end, and then the end of my trip, the end after we wrapped, my wife joined where I was in Hawaii and we were going to have like some time together.
Yeah.
But I had been so partied and restauranted out. I was like, fuck, yeah, all I want to do is go back to our house, put on the air conditioning, put on Apple TV and not move.
Right.
Like, but so during that stretch is when I was like, oh shit, okay, I need to like go for walks, drink some water, exercise.
Right.
It's a regimen I call the weed water wife. Cause I like when I'm like, all right, I've been on alcohol and not sleeping too much, I need like some weed, some right, water, and to hang out with my wife.
Do you ever feel like you needed a salad? Like, I just need something green in me. Like, not weed, but you know the.
No, well, that was something. Like by week four of the shoot, Adam and I had finally learned that, oh, when we're not on camera, we should be healthier.
Right,
like we were still eating like burger lunches and shit, like wings and shit. And we were like, wait a minute. Yeah. We get to eat for fun, paid for by other people,
right,
off camera. And so then we start like our tender greens and sweet greens Postmates were through the roof in every city. We were like, salad lunch? It's like, yes, please. It's like, skip breakfast, just drink black coffee. Right. It's like, yes. It's like, everyone's going out for pizza after drinks. It's like, I am going home to eat almonds and drink water.
Yes.
You need to come back hard.
Exactly. And did Adam, does he have kids and you don't?
I have no kids. He has three kids. So like, he's got to wake up early and FaceTime them and shit.
Yeah.
Like, none of the stuff I even have to do. But and like, I go home to my 40-year-old, my wife who's 40 and like my dog, and we're just, and he's a senior dog, and we're like, we lay low. He's
right,
got to go home and fucking go to drive to camp, pick up at school and shit. I'm like, thank God I get that rest.
Yeah, that's rough. That is rough. Yeah. The vacation we just went on was with the kids, and yeah, I'm looking, we go on a cruise on in December without them. So looking forward to that one. I mean, it was great with the kids, you know, they're a blessing, but you know,
well, I think more people just need to like do both. Like that's
yes,
all.
Exactly.
It's like, just remind for your and your partner's sanity. It's like,
yes,
let's just do two nights without the kids. Like,
yeah,
and we're actually on vacation and like, we are not catering to them. Like, yeah, I think you deserve that.
100%. And I'm sure you've gotten this question a zillion times, but what was your favorite place? during the show.
Going into it, I assumed Maui was going to be my favorite place because I had been there a few times, and it was. Like, it didn't, I mean, it didn't surprise me because I knew. So, like, Maui was a great but I had never been to Moab, Utah, or even heard of it. So after going to that, that's the site I'd like, the spot I'd like to most revisit. I have been to San Juan, Puerto Rico before, and I'd love to go with my wife on like a full, like, excuse me, grown-ups vacation there, because the food and party scene was so dope. And, you know, it's a giant island full of nice people. So that's always appealing.
Right.
But Moab, Utah, I had never been to, never heard of, is not really my vibe. And I can't wait to go back.
Wow. Yeah. That's like the last place you would think, like, oh, we're going to, why are we picking this place? But obviously it has a reason, you know. It's usually those places that, yeah, you don't expect. I mean, it's kind of like movies. Like, if I'm going in with low expectations, like, that's usually the movies I like, and vice versa, you know. It's like, it's definitely psychological, I think. It's just, you just go on for the ride. I didn't expect much, and then it's like, wow, I was blown away. So that's
exactly. And then it's also kind of like, I'm at this new phase of my life where I'm getting more into the outdoorsy type shit that I wasn't into before. So like, Moab has that too, where I'm like, shit, maybe that's something I do for like my 45th birthday, is like glamp out in Moab, or like, you know, do a big mountain bike ride or something dumb, some dumb old man activity shit like that.
Yeah. Cause I've been burned a few times by, going off Wikipedia for guests or whatever. Were you from New York originally?
I'm from Long Island, New York.
Okay.
A little offshoot of the state, the little island that goes off.
Yep. There you go. Nice. I think I talked to Ari Spears once, and I was like, you're from Chicago, right? He's like, no, I'm from New York. It's like, oh, okay. Well, that's what I get for trusting the internet, you know.
Moving on.
Exactly. But yeah, no, that's great. And that's, I mean, to be able to do it with one of your best friends, and to do all that,
it just feels so normal, you know what I mean? Like, it just feels, and the crew is great. These guys, like, these people are pros, they know what they're doing, and it's such a fun scene, like, setup. And it's just like, you know, we're the bosses too, and we're not, I'm not always like in a high status position, but like, we forget it, and then you're like half in the bag after a dinner, and you're like talking to the showrunner, shout out Michael Rucker, and you're like, was that funny? And he's like, you're okay, man. Like, yeah, guys, relax. We're like, people hate us, right? It's like, no, you guys are just drunk and sad. Like, let's just get you home. It's gonna be okay.
Yep, all those, the drunken tears, you know, you gotta deal with them. Gotta get past it. But no, that's great. And you guys met through, I think, through comedy. Is that how you met?
Yeah, we met early on at UCB in our early 20s after college, like I would say like 04, 05. We got put on an improv team together back in the day. It was kind of random. And then we hit it off as we bonded over the fact that both of us, we were in long-term relationships already. We've now since married those same two women. So we've always bonded over our monogamy.
And look
all
at
of our
you.
Young friends are, you know, dating, and we're like, no, I have a serious girlfriend who doesn't want to come watch me do improv. It's like, hey, same here. Maybe we should get dinner with them sometime or whatever.
Right. There you go. That's awesome. What was I going to say? I edit. I say I edit, but then I don't. Because I hate it. It's so time consuming. And I'm just like, whatever. Let's just keep it organic. You know, whatever. Your publicist, came to us with you because apparently you're a huge movie guy. She was so impressed just how knowledgeable you were with it, and I was like, wow, perfect fit. Let's do it.
I host two movie podcasts in addition to a non-movie podcast. That's how you know I'm passionate about movies. I've been watching movies every day since I was a little kid. I can't get enough of the screen, video games, TV, and movies. It all works on me. I love it all. And I'm always down to talk about movies. So
I love it.
That's... when it was like, do you want to do this strangers podcast? I was like, what is it? No, like talking about movies. I was like, oh yeah, I'll talk to any old asshole about Big Trouble in Little China. I don't give a fuck.
Well, that leads to my question. First of all, so yeah, we have people on who are, you know, in familiar with the industry and, you know, are in show business, have them on to get their perspective on film. So why did you choose Big Trouble in Little China to speak about?
Okay, well, two things. Like, usually with a movie podcast that asks me to pick a movie to talk about, I pick something I haven't seen yet to like force myself to find down and watch in blank. But this was your favorite movie. And at the time, I was also like a little too busy to like fully watch a whole, because I was just going to straight up be like, well, here's a movie I know I love, I haven't watched in 15 years. I'll just say it's my favorite movie so I can rewatch it. But then I was panicking that I wouldn't be able to rewatch it. And so I just picked a movie that is my favorite movie.
Okay. Yeah.
And I know it by heart. So I wouldn't, and that's Big Trouble in Little China. And like Kurt Russell, John Carpenter, fucking yeah. Everything. Kim Cattrall, Two right. Girls with Green Eyes, David Hong, just got a star on the Walk of Fame. This is like, this movie fucking meant so much to me as a kid, and it means still so much. Like, I don't have anything in my life that I liked this much when I was a kid, and even more as an adult. For like, I grew up with the movie in a way where I like found a new way to appreciate it like every 10 years. And I'm like just relishing in it constantly. It's everything I want in a movie. It's got beautiful people, great action, some weird fantasy element.
Right, yeah.
It's got like everything, and then it's also so fucking funny.
Yeah, it's funny, it's yeah, tongue in cheek, and yeah, it doesn't ever take itself seriously, which I love. Like, and it's but to your point about, yeah, you like to pick a movie that you haven't seen. I love when guests pick a movie I haven't seen, because it's like, oh, sweet, a new movie. And this, honestly, I've seen bits and pieces of it, but to do research for the show, I watched it, I mean, I think for the first time all the way through. So this is my first.
Oh, see, now I'm even happier with my choice, because it got one person to watch the whole
yes,
movie.
Yes. So, like, yeah.
And then hopefully some of your listeners have. No. It's really something weirdly special.
Okay. Oh, you
sorry,
froze
am I a little frozen?
Yeah, you know, you're good now. Yep.
It's really something special if you've never seen it. It really is sneaky in how much wild shit is going on.
Right.
It's like it's dressed up like a random like 80s, 90s, like mid-budget action
sure.
comedy thriller thing. But then there's just so many elements at play. And maybe my favorite thing, and I'm curious about you watching it for the first time, that fact that Kurt Russell is the star of the movie, but he's not the protagonist.
Yeah, and that's been, I know it's been, you know, doing research, like it seems like it's been like a, not an argument, but like a debate on whether is he the protagonist or is he a sidekick? And yeah,
and I think a lot of people believe he's the sidekick to his buddy, Wang. And I think,
yeah.
He like never knows what's going. Like, there's a supercut on YouTube of Jack Burton just going, "Huh?" and like being confused. There's not a what in the hell is a low pan? What he says? What is that? Or what is the last thing
right.
someone said? Or what are you talking about? Or huh?
Yeah.
So many times in that movie, and it's like a weird commentary on America in a way, too, because it's like all these hardworking Asian people and women getting everything done. And then there's like a confused white man who's just kind of storms in and is like, huh? And he's like,
yeah,
and feels like he's the hero. He's like, you know, ego's rent, like, well, checks in the mail, pal.
Checks
he like narrates his own life. And
yeah.
It's just like, it's a very fun look at America where it's like,
yeah,
he's getting all the credit for this. And it's like,
right.
And also the place that's being ravaged is Little China. You know, it's like, it's like weirdly imperialistic that he shows up spraying machine guns and stuff, like gets
yeah.
involved in something that has nothing to do with him and then doesn't even really help over the course of the movie.
Well,
fucking rules.
Yeah, definitely. And like you said, it is a you know, it does speak on America and just how little I think a lot of us know about, you know, these other cultures and, what's going on. I mean, hopefully, that, you know, there's not really this black magic that's going on in places, but, you know, it does speak on that, that aspect. I love how quick paced it is too, because you have him, going, driving and doing, the whole, cashing my check line, all that, going through, and then he's gambling, and then all of a sudden they're at an airport and just kidnaps happening, and just like
it's kind of like pulpy in like an adventure novel kind of way, in that like Jack Burton's like immediately involved and like it's about just like money Wang owes him from a bet is like the reason he's all the way, like by the end he's fighting like in a spiritual war to save the earth, and it's
right,
and that all stemmed from like he owed me like $1,000 or whatever.
All of this, like he's trying to get out of town, but Wang won't pay him his money, and it just all snowballs. He's like, oh, now I gotta save San Francisco.
Who's Gracie Law? I'm Gracie Law. Okay, like I love you. I didn't even think about that. The pacing of the movie is very modern in how fast it moves. It's like, Here's what we're doing, and now we're there. Egg is leading a group of people into the belly of the beast, and we're there. Now we're trying to rescue women, and we're rescuing them. And now we're caught again. Like they just like keep powering through in such a way
that and they keep sneaking in this little exposition and stuff about what is actually going on in the grand scheme of things. And it's like, it definitely takes multiple views to catch it, because I watched it, a couple weeks ago, had to cancel, and then today I refreshed my memory by just kind of skimming through it, and I was noticing like, oh, okay, now I get that part. And
it works on a, it's just like one of those movies where there's just more going on than there needs to be, in a good way, where you're like, you're like, this movie doesn't even need this many details. Like the big street fight, like early on when they're stuck in the car and he pulls out his knife, and then there's like a huge street fight in between the yellow bandana guys and the red bandana guys. And he's confused the whole time. And then when it ends, there's like low pan and he's like an energy being. And it's like that we're 15 minutes into the movie. The movie opens with Egg in an interview, and that ends with the cold open of the movie ends with Egg going, Chinese black magic, as lightning appears between his hands.
Yes.
And you're like, okay, this is at minute, it's 45 seconds into the movie, and we've got like Emperor Palpatine lightning inside regular office. So where the fuck does this movie go? And this movie takes you on the ride.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because, you have that, and then it meshes with the silly, like, John Wayne type talking that Kurt Russell's doing in the truck. Right, and it's just like, okay, what are we in for at this point?
And then
like,
what's those two worlds literally colliding. And then we haven't even touched on, I've mentioned Lo Pan a few times, but his crew is the Three Storms, these three insane badass martial artists with super specific powers that don't seem to really fit them in the long run, but so great fucking stunty fun shit to watch with the guy who can inflate himself. Like,
well, apparently, I know. Oh my god, we're definitely gonna get to that thing. And even one of the guys is wearing, that big, I just call it a sombrero, but that big thing. Apparently, that was inspiration for the character in Mortal Kombat.
He literally rides down on he rappels down on a lightning bolt, which is pretty awesome.
Yes, absolutely. Now, were you into Asian culture movies with like kung fu and stuff?
Typically? I was growing up because like I watched a lot of martial arts movies and did martial arts. I was like 80s white kid familiar with Asian culture. Now I'm like a 40-year-old man who's lived in multiple major metropolitans and understand that Asian culture is not what I was seeing on TV. And that Steven Seagal is not Asian at all. Right. And like,
right.
Yeah, so you like, but I was always into the stuff that was magical or mystical. And unfortunately, in the 80s and 90s, Asian culture was, you know, and Native American culture and Cajun culture all kind of got that, like, it's magic over there, which which is a weird form of racism in some capacity. But
yeah,
at the same time, I think, like, I was, this movie, it was made for me in between my love of Kurt Russell and my love of martial arts. It's like, it's the iconic 90s action hero, like, I'll save the day energy, undercut by the vibes, like, of making fun of the guy, and then added a plethora of awesome martial arts and magic stunts and shit. So the movie is just like, I you know, I grew up watching all those, like, the Van Damme, all those Bruce Lee was my favorite, like, all that shit I loved. And then this movie kind of brought it in and also, like, interacted with it in a way that I was not expecting as a kid. And now as a grown up, it's like, to pull this genre off, they're, like, doing so much shit.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Are you a John Carpenter guy?
A big Carpenter fan. Like, didn't know I was a big Carpenter fan until I, like, was in my 20s and understood, like, who directed what. But I grew up, I loved Halloween, and I fucking loved Big Trouble in Little China. And two of the things I loved about those movies was their scores. And he also does the scores for his movies. Big Trouble in Little China has a great fucking score. Fog, great fucking score. Great movie. He made a lot of bangers early on in his career. And I'm a big fan of his music and his fucking movie. So,
yeah, no, the score is definitely, yeah. And it's got that, like, classic 80s vibe to it. And yeah, brilliant. I was I'm fairly new to this movie, so, like, I was super confused at first, like, the way they were portraying Wang when they're, like, gambling. Like, I thought for sure, like, Wang was, like, a bad guy and was, like, gonna bring, you know, Jack to a place, you know, for the money, but really it was just him setting him up or something.
Right,
like,
right, right.
It seemed that way. And I was like, what?
Because that's how movies, like, were destined, because they're competing against each other. So you honestly think if you're, like, are using modern, like, movie language, you think that we're just going to see Kurt Russell be a hero in this moment and then leave this place and be some and never interact with this person again, because it's like the cold open of the movie where you just see, oh, this is our hero being a badass, and then our hero joins the actual plot of the movie after this. But no, this is like the beginning of it all, and the dumb, barely and arguably good reason to get him to chase them the whole time, to follow the story the whole time.
Right And that he, like we said before, he's definitely, you know, the sidekick. He's just doing, like, he's just following along with everyone, and he's kind of an idiot in a way. Like, he's not
a major uninformed idiot. He's he is arguably the eye candy of the movie. Like, the way there's a case to be made that it's sort of undercutting the trope of, like, the damsel in distress.
Right.
And we have, like, this beautiful man, Kurt Russell, whose hair always looks amazing, like a female character in an 80s or 90s movie. Yep. It's like, she's been underwater and fighting. Like, why is her hair not, like, her hair doesn't look messed at all. And he does not really help at all, but everyone is kind of intrigued by him, and he's like a linchpin to the story for some reason. So he's arguably our damsel in distress, a case. And, like, I find that to be a very fun look at the movie as well, where you're he legit needs to be rescued twice and he's our hero.
Well, even the climax, like, he's really not part of that big battle. Like, he shoots, like, the ceiling and it falls on him and he passes out. So
and he accidentally kills the guy in the armor with his knife boot. Like he doesn't get a chance to do a lot. Yeah.
Right. Definitely. Let's see. I got my notes here. Whatever happened to, that's one thing I was a little confused about. So, Kim Cattrall was meeting her friend at the airport, and they were trying to kidnap her, but they ended up kidnapping Wang's fiance dead.
I think Wang's fiance is who she was going to meet, because that Wang's fiance had a story. Like, she's the other girl.
Okay.
And so then they end up getting two girls with green eyes for the price of one. And they need, right. they only yeah. need the Asian girl with green eyes, who's Wang's fiance and Gracie Law's friend, or Gracie Law is going to tell a story about her. I forget what the exact dynamic
yeah.
is, but I do think that's the same person. So the two of them, like, and then so they're, Lopan needs them both for whatever immortality spell or whatever the fuck he's doing for himself.
Yeah. Well, Gracie, yeah, the woman she's originally there to meet. Do we ever see that woman again? It's just...
Oh, yeah. No, I don't know. I don't think
yeah,
so.
Yeah,
no.
I think it's just, ah, she's gone. All yeah. right. We figured that out. Just let's not write her back in. And yeah, I just love when he comes to the brothel and it's raining cats and dogs out there. And
that little, the dorky version of himself. Another great moment I like too is when he's going undercover as like the telephone repairman, and he just holds up a telephone with the wire dangling like, from it, like that's at all a tool they would use. He's like, "Yeah, well, gotta go," and he's like over talking, like super confident. It's really funny.
Oh, I love a good night shift, and he's like walking in. Yeah, has a telephone because he's a telephone repairman, so naturally he's gonna have a telephone on him.
That's a great Burton moment. Another great Burton moment is when. Egg, there's like a weird sea monster underneath the streets, and Egg Shen throws like some of his magic bombs at it, and it like, and he goes, "We won't be seeing that again." The look on Kurt Russell's face, on Jack Bird's face, is like, "What in the fuck have I gotten myself into?"
Definitely. I like the lore behind it. One thing I wish they, again, upon rewatch, they, you know, you can understand it a little more, but I wish they expanded maybe a tiny bit on, you know, what was going on with Lopan. But I guess with a 80s movie that's an hour and a half, you know, you just want it to move along. You don't want it to be that deep. But that's just my selfish wanting is like more of that lore. Like, all right, what really happened?
Yeah, but there's some comics that take place in the world, too, now that I've gotten popular. I wonder if they expand. See, I get that. And for me, I just love how rich it seemed. You know what I mean? Like, it's like we only see a glimpse of what is really going on underground in Little China. And I'm so but you're right. There's way more. And I'm very curious about how long Lopan has been running his gangs and all that. But it's also fun that it feels super rich and barely touched upon. Like, there's something about that. Yeah.
Definitely. And then we touched on the one dude who can expand himself. Feel like he gets out of like Jack's grip by expanding himself, but
yeah, he just can inflate himself in some insane way. And then there's the ride the lightning guy, and then there's the dude who can kind of like throw little metal ball, like he has like telekinesis more.
Exactly. But I just love, again, back to the beginning, I just love how they just happen upon this alley because they're chasing down, and it's I didn't realize the first time, but watching it today, it's a funeral procession.
Yeah.
And it's they're basically attacking that. And then he's all concerned about his truck, and you know, it's that's all he wants. But then he just keeps getting thrown into these situations. Lopan, I love the makeup design on him when he's like that old man, like that's like,
oh yeah, and he's got
super
and he's,
creepy,
like, he's kind of goofy with his like weird skin.
Yes.
When he like kind of mocks, he makes fun of Jack Burton is really fucking great too.
And then at one point, don't they get like stuck in wheelchairs? And
he's in a wheelchair. He escapes, but then he rolls backwards all the way down until he's dangling over. And like, this is what I like about the movie too. Like, the setting is like San Francisco, and then they go underground, and it's in a fully fantastical world exists underneath the ground. There's like temples, there's giant wells, there's fighting pits, there's monsters, there's full wars being waged and no one knows about them. It's such a fun, you know, it's such a weird choice.
Well, like I think it was Wang's uncle says at the beginning, China is here. China is here. And Jack's like, what the hell are you talking about? Just like, give me my truck.
I think that'll
back.
That'll eventually make sense to me. Oh, no, the movie ended and it still doesn't. Okay. Yeah.
Well, and it's funny because I mean, I was totally getting John Wayne vibes, and apparently Kurt Russell did emulate Kurt or John Wayne for this. He was purposely kind of
sure.
Talking that way. Like,
he does a little bit of, he's like, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
When the devil comes and says, rent, pal, you say checks in the, you know, like he
checks in
that
them.
Classic, yeah. Like, and that's all doing it. Fuck. He's
yeah. How, I mean,
it's like Jack Burton says, what the.
Exactly. I nothing against Wang, but I mean, how does he pull a girl like Mao Yin, you know? I mean, that's
I think you see how, because he's willing to fucking fight his way down, like
he's the hero. Yeah,
that translates well for him, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Okay. And he probably has a great personality, you know.
Right. he's very cute, very sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So, you know. But yeah, it's entertaining movie. It's nonstop. You don't get bored at all. Like, you know, it's just I'm so glad you picked it. What kind of, are you into newer movies now? Like, are you liking what's been coming out? Like, are you more of an action guy? Or
I love to see all the new big blockbuster movies. I have absolute like franchise fatigue. Like, I'd like to see some more standalone movies. Some interest.
Yes.
Like, I just don't want to have to, like, every movie I'm seeing, I also have to like buy into something way more than that. You know what I mean? Like,
Oh, definitely.
I just like, so like for me, I'm stoked to see like I really enjoyed Vengeance, BJ Novak's movie. I just saw that this weekend.
I need to see that. Yeah, that looks awesome.
It was truly enjoyable. It was like very different and surprised me. I'm a lot of Everything Everywhere All at Once, Top Gun Maverick. Those are a couple of my favorite movies of the year.
I couldn't believe how much I liked Top Gun Maverick. That was just...
It was made for me, and I just came in, and it fucking achieved thing I wanted it to achieve. It just worked on me. Yeah.
Yeah, the weight, because they kept pushing it back like,
yeah, and I just could not be more excited. I was like, please give it to us, please. Yeah.
And they delivered. They 100% delivered.
Fuck.
Yeah, because the Marvel stuff, I don't know if you're into that, but yeah, that just, it's just getting at this point, it's just like, once the whole Thanos stuff happened, I'm like, all right, that was the end of that chapter, and I'm kind of almost done. I'm still hanging on a little, but I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm a little tired. I'm a little tired of all things Marvel and Star Wars, but I'll still probably see every single fucking thing they put out.
Exactly.
And they know that, and it's this weird relationship I have with them where I'm just dealing with the fact that they know I'm a pig for fucking content. So thank you. Disney.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Are you into any of the art house films, like with the Oscar films or anything like that? Or
yeah, I try to watch all the nominated for Best Picture movies, of course. One of my favorite movies of last year, I don't think I could call it my favorite, but it's definitely top three, was Drive My Car, which is like a 3+ hour Japanese language, a foreign language film, and it was like,
right.
So I'll watch them all. I'm curious. I watch a lot of B action movies on Netflix, like foreign action movies and foreign thrillers. I watch a lot because I can do subtitles pretty well when I'm stoned.
Yeah.
It actually helps me pay attention because I'm so hooked on story that I won't look at my phone. But if it's in English, I may start looking at my phone and
right, because you
miss
can
a
hear
bunch
it
of shit
and...
when I'm super. Yeah, exactly. So
yeah, you can pay attention more almost when there's subtitles.
I dive in on the subs. So I watch a lot of foreign action movies, a lot of foreign thrillers. I am constantly checking boxes for movies I haven't seen that I've heard of. I watch a movie every week for my podcast, Action Boys, which are all like classic action movies from the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Okay.
I'm watching a new movie every week for my podcast, The Movie Buff, that I do on Spotify Live every night, doing a new episode. So I got to see a new movie that weekend. And then, like, I'm always doing another podcast where I got, so I'm constantly consuming all types of movies. And I am of the mindset that, like, I like to watch movies. So if it's a bad movie, I'm still happy to have watched a movie rather than, exercised, or
even the bad, even the bad ones, I like to break down and, you know, talk about, like,
or you
what
find something
better.
Cool in it. You're like, oh, that's a great performance by this one person. Or
definitely.
Like, oh shit, they made 8 of these movies. Now I got to watch all of the, you know, Boyaka movies or whatever.
Right. Definitely. but yeah, no, it's, that's how I feel. Yeah. I love when someone picks something that I haven't seen again, cause I get to watch another movie. And yeah, I've been a guest a few times on other podcasts where it's like, all right, sweet. So I'm glad to talk to a fellow movie guy. Just wrapping up here, your podcast, when do they release every week, when they release, and your when does the show release? I know what days does it release?
Every Thursday night at 10:30 on True TV. You could watch episodes on truetv.com with a cable login. If you don't have a cable login, which a lot of modern people don't these days, you can watch the first episode on YouTube. Maybe we'll put more on. I don't know if we can get them to do that. But you can also buy episodes wherever you buy VOD stuff, like Amazon or Apple or something like that. You can straight up buy a season. I think it's like under $20 too. So, like, if you're dying to watch a travel show and don't have cable, there's your move. Or use your parents' login and check it out wherever you watch. We got a few episodes out so far. I'm very proud of the show. I think if you like travel shows, which is a low bar, I like bad travel shows. So this is a decent travel show with comedy. So if you like it at all, you're in. Like, if that's anywhere at all in your wheelhouse, you're set.
That's what's up. And then any other projects coming up that you can speak about?
I got nothing on the docket that no teasers, nothing exciting here, but hopefully I'll be traveling again soon. And as always, follow me at Gabrus on all social media for any of the news you might want to hear about what I got going on.
There
and
we go.
And also, if you don't want to hear, because I barely give a fuck what I'm doing. So I understand if you don't.
Love it. I know you got to go. And then, really appreciate you coming on, my man. You're welcome back anytime. Would love to talk more movies with you.
Thanks for having me, Mr. C Cord.
Yeah, that's right. I love it. It makes me feel a certain type of way. But all right, man. Well, yeah, again, thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me, bud. Talk soon. What in the hell?
There you have it, folks. John Gabrus, Big Trouble in Little China. Great conversation. Cool guy. Glad he was able to come on, and hopefully he'll come on again, talk another movie. It was great. Great speaking with that dude. Again, follow us on Twitter at BlockbusterCast, Instagram Blockbuster Mentality, BlockbusterMentality.com, and 5-star review on iTunes. That would be great. But we've got more exciting guests coming up. We'll release episodes when we release them. Let us know if it's too little. We're going to try our best to keep this thing going, keep it rolling, keep the guests coming. Sometimes it gets a little discouraging, you know, emailing these publicists and it's like, come on, someone give me a yes. But I understand people are busy and sometimes they just don't want to do their homework and watch a movie to come on the show, which is fine too. I don't blame them. But anyway, all right, folks. Well, that is it for me. For John, I'm Ben. And as always, grab some popcorn, grab some snacks. We'll catch you guys at the movies.